Thank you, Donnie. I have lots of problems. I am a problem. You can ask some of my brothers. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I am thankful to be here. I am thankful that conference is over, but I'm not thankful that we have some of those problems. And that's not what I'm preaching on today. I want you to go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And all of you know this scripture by heart. And it is the 37th verse through the 38th. And it says this: Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You all know it, correct? That's an easy one. I want to ask you something. When you fell in love for the first time, how did you feel? How did you feel? You couldn't wait to talk to that person. You wanted to know everything about that person. You would do anything for that person. Because you wanted to please that person. Am I correct? Yeah? We see people in love, and it stands out a mile, doesn't it? You're happy. There is nothing that seems to ruin your day. How come we're not like that with God? I mean, it's a good question, isn't it? If we're to love our God with all thy heart, wouldn't it stand to reason that we should be that way? You know, and this isn't just for you guys, this is for me. I had to really think about this. Did I love God the way that I love my wife and my children and everything that he has blessed my hands with? Do I? I better. Can I not wait to know everything about him? Does he pour out his blessings and his spirit upon me? Does he show me such great things because I love him this way? I want you to go to page 92 in the book of Mormon. And I'm sure you guys know these scriptures also. It's the third chapter of 2 Nephi, starting in the 31st verse. Nevertheless, the great goodness of God, of the Lord, in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh, my soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies under the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by night, by day, and he hath given me knowledge by vision in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains, and my eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great a things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men has visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh wasteth away and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of the flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptation that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemies? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of my enemy? Wilt thou make that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict and plain in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me about around in the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before my enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldest clear my way before me and hedge up my way, but the way of mine enemy? O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in a man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto the rock, and mine everlasting God. Amen. How did Nephi love God? Didn't say that he didn't look at his life and afflictions. It didn't say that his choices were taken from him and he had no cares. It didn't say that he had no enemies. Wouldn't it be great if someone that disagreed with us, God would smite? Right? You think that would be good? No conflict. Oh, Lord, you just take care of that. Somehow it doesn't work like that. And you can see that he wasn't exempt from the struggles and the trials that we face. There are many of the problems you and I have, correct? Not correct. Sure sounded like God softened their hearts. You see, let's read some of those again. And I want to go back to that. I want to go to fourth chapter of 2 Nephi. I am there. That's the third chapter. Oh, there we go. I want to read 1 through 6 here in the fourth chapter. Behold, it came to pass that I, Nephi, did cry much unto the Lord my God because of the anger of my brethren. But behold, their anger did increase against me, insomuch that they did seek to take away my life. Yea, they did murmur against me, saying, our younger brother thinks to rule over us, and we have had much trials because of him. Wherefore, now let us slay him, that we may not be afflicted more because of his words. For behold, we will not have him to be our ruler, for it belongs unto us, who are the elder brethren, to rule over this people. Now I do not write upon these plates all the words which they murmured against me, but it sufficeth me to say that they did seek to take away my life. A little bit of a trial there. Have your brothers wanted to take away your life? Hard for me to imagine that. I mean, my brothers would shoot at one another with 22s, but they weren't trying to kill one another, but it didn't seem like the smartest thing to do. You see, the trials show something about our character. But if you truly love God, you have a set of rules that you follow. And they are God's rules or commandments. And it is part of that love that Nephi had for God. And so what was the blessings that God had bestowed on Nephi? And if you go over that previous page there, the 35th verse, my God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies unto causing them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by vision in the nighttime. Can you imagine that kind of a relationship? I want that. I want that for each and every one of you. That's why we love him. You see, some have a distorted understanding of who God is. And you know, when I started out on this journey, I wasn't any different. I felt in many ways that all I wanted was the blessings. All I wanted was the blessings. I didn't want the trials. I didn't want the things that make me look at myself. And it's how we fashion our lives. And this is the big commandment right here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What does that mean to you? Another one of these examples would be Paul. And in some ways I can relate to Paul a little better because, as my brother pointed out, I didn't start where some of you guys have started. You know, Paul, he thought he was working for God. He just didn't know who God was. Got up close and personal for him, though, in a hurry. I mean, he was doing a good job. And I don't mean to judge any of you. I judge myself. Let's go to Acts, the 9th chapter. And many of you have probably heard me read this before. I'll start in the first verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. How come he didn't give him the answer right then and there? How come he just didn't fix the problem right there? You see, sometimes we have to get to that point where we think about what we're doing. Not on impulse. We have to think about what it is that the Lord is trying to tell us. And so, when you continue on a little bit, you get down to the 11th verse, and then this is the Lord speaking to someone. And the Lord said unto him, I'll go back to the 10th. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Now, the significance of that is, he's telling Ananias, I'm not sending someone else, I'm sending you. So, there's no way he can say, well, you know, that didn't happen. And Ananias kind of argues with him a little bit. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. What did he change about Paul? Not only did he make him blind, which I think in many instances we're blind also, but he changed the way that he looked at things. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wasn't about Paul anymore. wasn't about Paul anymore. This was about the Lord Jesus Christ and where he was supposed to take that love to from there on. And Paul did a pretty good job. And you've seen how zealous Paul was. When he realized what he had done, it changed that very being. And God knew that. You don't think that was part of the plan? Of course it was. He thought he loved God and he thought he was doing the right thing. And I find in my own life that there are many times that I get to that crossroad where I have to look at myself and I say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to teach me that I might love our people or him more fully? Because if I don't love each and every one of you, truly don't love him. Now you loved your wives or your husbands, and you started out with that consuming love that you're supposed to have for your God. You never had another problem, right? In your marriages, you never had another problem. It was all over and done. Some of you guys are smiling. Some of you ladies are smiling. It didn't work that way. You see, I find that there is one thing we all have to some extent or another that affects our relationships, whether it's with our wives, whether it's with our husbands, whether it's with our children, and especially with our God. And we learn it at an early age, and we all have a portion of it, some more than others. And it's selfishness. It affects every part of our relationships with everyone around us, even God. You know, and we say in our heart, I don't care what you want. I want what I want. And God, all I want is the blessings. When the blessings stop, sometimes that's the only time we really question where we are. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Eleventh chapter. And most of you know this, that Paul suffered many things for his name's sake, didn't he? And this is just a few of them. If you start in the 23rd verse down through the 28th, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant in stripes, above measure. In prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeying oft in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils mine own countrymen, in perils. by the heathen in perils, in the city in perils, in the wilderness in perils, in the sea in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watching oft, in hunger and thirst, in fasting oft, in cold and nakedness, beside those things are without that which cometh upon me daily, a cares of all the churches. How many of you would just say, who needs this? And I'm sure Paul thought about that, because it's a human trait. I think about it and I go, why? With the snap of God's fingers, he can just fix everything. Even the problems in the church or the problems in our families, everything. He is able to do that. But it reveals something within us. You know, and these were just a few things that Paul suffered because he loved his God. He was willing to put himself, or that's not really the right word for it. He was, he allowed himself to go through these things because of who he loved. And maybe that's not a very good way of putting it. You see, even in, let's go to the 22nd chapter of Acts. 22nd chapter of Acts. You know, maybe I was actually the 20th chapter. And this was where he was contemplating going up to Jerusalem. And so in the 22nd verse, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel, the grace of God. And so he understood what this was all about. He got it. Because he loved God and God loved him, that these things were important, more important than even his whole life. Right? So if you turn over the page to the 21st chapter there, in the 13th, actually I'll start in the 11th. And when he had come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. And when he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready to be bound only, ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. He knew. The Holy Ghost had told him that these things were going to happen to him. But there was something more important that he had to do. This isn't about us. We make it about us, but this is not about us. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ and how we cleanse ourselves, how we change how we look at things through these trials. They are so important because they tell us where we are spiritually. Do we prefer one another? How do we love one another? Would we take a bullet for one another? Paul would. You know, Paul's not the kind of guy I would like to go on a cruise with. You know, if you look at the 27th chapter of Acts there, and I don't think I have time to read it, but that was 14 days in that storm. Now, when he started out, no one believed a word he said. But at the end of that 14 days, I tell you, everybody went to Paul. And they knew that there was something about him that was different because of that love that he had for the Lord. And the Lord could have just snapped his fingers and it would have been all over and done with. That storm would have ceased. But he didn't. You see, it's our trials in our lives that other people get to witness and how we deal with them. How we turn our lives to him, how he changes the very nature of this beast, of this creature. And you know, in some ways, I don't think Paul really cared what God put him through. He understood that he was that witness for him. So, he was willing to give his life. And yet, he was the one that had persecuted many of these same people that he was dealing with now. You see, this love that we have for our God cannot be just one-sided. If Christ gave his life for you and I, and he did, we know he did. And I understand that. Why wouldn't I give my life to him? It has to change who we are. And in many instances, it changes it in dramatic ways. If you were only given blessings and had the power of God to smite any of your enemies, what kind of person would you be? If in your marriage and that love of your life, you always got what you wanted, never considered what they wanted. Whether your husband or wife, how long would that last? He really didn't care, right? He was kind of selfish. Some last a while, some don't. You see, it's that crisis that we create ourselves because we haven't focused on who we love. We haven't focused on that person that we fell in love with either. Because And it says it in the Book of Mormon that if you're in the service of your fellow man, you're in the service of God. That means, Matthew 24, where it says, if you've done it under the least of these, you've done it under me. That means, for good or bad, we're judged whether we do the right thing or the wrong thing. I want to go to, and this will be the last scripture that I'm going to have for you today. I want to go to 1 John, 2nd chapter. I'm going to start in the 4th verse through the 6th. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Who are we walking after? We're walking after the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're walking after. It should make us uncomfortable. It should make us look at ourselves and should make us have that desire and that love for our God. That all-consuming love. And then people will say, you're all a nut job, just like me. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I love you dearly, each and every one of you. And I pray that maybe you can receive something out of this. Because I've seen the struggles and the trials that many of our people have gone through, and I myself even, because of the things that we do to one another. I praise my Heavenly Father for each and every one of you, because you all add something to me. You all make me look at my life in a different way. My God has done amazing things for me. When I started out, before I found the Lord, I would throw my shoes at you and tell you you had more chance of saving those souls than this one. And so I want you to consider how we deal with one another. Because not with selfishness, with love for one another. I thank you very much, and may God bless you all.